Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city at last.
Hello, everybody. God bless you tonight. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a special guest for you, and we have Phil Armstrong of the Prophecy Zone. So stay tuned. I'm going to bring Phil on and talk about the end times. So many topics we have to cover. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Susan. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, yes. Good, because I had a microphone set up and everything, and then I forgot I didn't have any Skype time, so I had to buy some. But, yeah, I'm glad to be here tonight, and thank you for inviting me on your show.
Yes, thank you for coming. I was just looking at a few stories before we came on, and one story was that the police were stopping people. I think it might have been Kentucky, or can't remember exactly the state, but they were stopping people to check to see if they were eating in their cars while driving. Yeah,
wow.
And then yeah, and then the other thing was that they discovered in California that there's actually some radiation that leaked over from the leak in Japan a few years ago, and they're finding it in the kelp.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of things we're not being told about that. I'm pretty sure all the governments of the world will one day bring that as an issue to try to resolve during their one world government, bringing that in. Because, they have to have a common enemy, and that will be one as far as, fighting the, system as far as carbon monoxide poisoning, ozone layer, and all of this other artificial enemies that they have, plus the Al Gore syndrome, I call it. And he's become a billionaire off of fighting, making movies and documentaries and writing books.
Yeah.
He's become more successful, at not becoming a president than he was if he would have been the president. And we all know how close he was to becoming president.
Yeah, he was very close. Yeah, he was very close.
Yes,
that
was.
Would have been
yes,
an interesting scenario had it happened.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I would love to be able to be taken into, God taking me into time and see how it would look if he was in the country. Yeah, because that would have been just as a mess as it was for, George Bush, but I don't think he would have outspent George Bush even close, and he's a Democrat, so go figure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it behooves me, I'm what you call midlife right now. I'm 44 years old. And during the time that I was kind of off, not necessarily off backslidden, but off getting whipped as far as, I didn't really take, the job part, as far as midlife crisis or where I'm at in life. It was more spiritual, and during my process of, God taking me to the shed, I've seen things happen without even having to go online. I see our world change, right before my eyes, as far as, when is the last time you've seen anybody on the Grammy Awards singing a gospel song and actually feeling good about it? You know, these people come on the Grammy Awards and they worship Satan. You know, they're throwing these, and it's not just this year, it's 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah,
you know?
openly doing it.
Yeah, and so now the new evil is the good, and the new good is the evil. So now you have gay marriages and shout outs to gay, you know, homosexuality, and but the Christian needs to be quiet. You can't say anything. You just be quiet. While we bring on the new, you know, which is, to me, it's a sign of the time. And then, you know, the new world order, me and my wife just got to talking about this sacrifice of kids. They're talking about 200-something thousand kids missing from Europe. And 300-something kids are missing from kids. What I mean by kids 18 and under are missing from North America. She was just listening to some, like, I call him a Satanist, even though he calls himself a Jewish, you know, Jewish religion of how they sacrifice. But it kind of reminded me of how in the Bible they sacrificed the Moloch, the kids. You know, I'm not saying that's exactly where those kids went. I mean, their family members could have took them. But when you get an open individual saying, you know, part of these synagogues, that this is what we did, you know, and it's not really a synagogue. It's basically some of the cathedrals or some of these Catholic people are admitting to the child sacrifice. And it's just a sign of the time, you know.
Yeah, it's a sign of the times. But I think an interesting thing that I heard a couple weeks ago was that these foreigners come over to this country and they open up strip clubs and then they kidnap girls from around the world and they bring them to this country and they make them work in these strip clubs and then they force them into prostitution and they're basically sex slaves. So you're wondering, like, okay, why aren't the police going into these clubs, since it's a known fact what's going on? Why aren't they going into these places and rescuing these girls and arresting these people? We're seeing such a breakdown of law and order in the society. And even the shows on television, just a total... the language and the open sexuality, I've never seen anything like it. So more to come.
And then they're, you know, they're straight up talking about zombie apocalypse and things like this. But yeah, you will get a zombie apocalypse if you legalize drugs. I mean, and that's one of the things that we're looking at in this state. You know, we got a little stat, you know, people cracking jokes for the Seattle Seahawks and Seattle. You know, I know, what's his name? The guy that, the Jay Leno, I was watching him a couple of nights ago because it was last night. And I really don't watch him as much. So I was sitting down there watching him. And he was making a joke of Seattle as far as marijuana. But,
you must smell it in the air there.
Yeah,
in the state of Washington.
Yeah, you must at least in Seattle you probably do.
Yeah,
it's too cold. Yeah, it's too cold for anybody to come outside, smell anything right about now. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna have a breakdown of society when the family is rearranged and the father becomes the girl and the mama becomes the guy, and it necessarily doesn't have to be that way. It's, you know, as far as you know. It can just be a breakdown of roles. I mean, you get society watching, you know, these males, they watch TV often enough, they watch these movies often enough, and they hang around their buddies often enough, you know, we change roles. I mean, women have become the, you know, feminist movement, women have become stronger than men, you know, and they actually become better at winning money and bringing home money than the male does. You know, and to me, it's a sad story because I not only sit here and I don't watch a lot of TV, but the TV I do watch, I kind of just kind of test, you know, how you go to Walmart and you take a sample, you know, and they say, hey, you'd like to try a sample? Well, what I do is I kind of sample certain shows to see how crazy and out of place they are, and they're right at home. I mean, this society that we're living in now is just completely degenerate. I work with boys every day, and, you know, I mean, I worked at Job Corps 10 years ago, so
yeah,
I know what's going on. I mean, but you can easily say they're just teenagers. I mean, I've had teenagers. I have a teenager in the house. I still have one in the house. And it's just the value system of the American society is just decrepit. I mean, I'm not just here on a show just saying it. I mean, the love of many shall wax cold. I mean, just
I see it.
Yeah, it's cold. I mean,
it's very cold and very disrespectful.
One time,
I had someone, a family member, come to my house. They came to visit. They were visiting from another state, and they brought their daughter. She was probably in her 30s. Anyway, she had two kids. So usually when people come to our house, we ask them to leave their shoes at the door. Mm-hmm. And so when she came in, she was holding her daughter, and I said, well, can you – you know, she walked into the house, and she didn't take her shoes off. So I asked her, I said, well, can you, you know, take your shoes off, and I'll put them by the door. And she took the shoes off of her daughter. You know, she was standing up next to me, and she was holding her daughter, and she took the shoes off, and she threw them down on my floor.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa. You know, and so you can imagine if you tell, this is a family member visiting, you know, my home. So you can imagine if you're out in public and you ask somebody to do something, if they're doing something that's disturbing you, yeah, they're going to haul off and sock you. Or,
yeah.
You know, like that crazy guy takes out a gun in the movie theater in Florida and shoots somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a strange world we're living in, very strange. but I noticed that too with even people in the family. If you think people are really nice until you don't give them what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
Then
that's true.
Yeah, they're really nice to you until you don't give them what they want. Then if you don't give them what they want, yeah, they'd like to get rid of you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's really, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 20 or 30 years when the next generation takes over.
Well, that's a good thought. Let's move in that direction because I used to say that 10 years ago. I don't know what's going to happen 10 years from here. And look where we are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beyond imaginable. We live in our bubbles at home, and we don't even realize how decrepit our society has become. Homosexuality, you know, I know one of the preachers got mad at me because I say God loves he listened to one of my shows. I said God loves the person but hates the action.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's wrong with that, what I just said? You know, how he's like standing in the pool, said, how dare you tell somebody God loves this person? And I said, how dare you don't? You know,
yeah.
And after a while.
Yes, that spirit of rebellion. They just
yeah.
want to rebel against everything.
Yeah. They just want to rebel against everything. So, you know, to talk about the Bible prophecy, and I'm sharing this with other people. I'm sharing this with people, and I'm pretty sure you guys heard. Y2K, that was a misfire.
The funny thing about Y2K was it was a perfect opportunity for people to make
a killing.
a killing in the stock market. It was like, you know, there was a penny stock I looked at, and it was 25 cents, and then like 6 months later, it was $15, you know.
Yeah, how does it get that? That's rich.
Well,
that's
of course, if you were smart, you got in and you got out. But the whole thing is that Christians were so convinced that there was going to be this collapse, they bought into that whole thing.
Hey, I was in that. I believed it. Matter of fact, I had the tapes and everything. And
I knew Bill Gates wasn't that stupid. I knew he wasn't that stupid.
Well,
I didn't buy into it.
They were giving, well, I did. They were giving tapes out, Chuck Mixler. I remember that. And I was so excited about that, Susan, I even gave my pastor a tape. So for anything that I really wanted to repent about, that would be it. But you think we would learn our lesson? Just recently in 2011, Common Element was on the focus of many Christians. And once again, because Pastor J.D. Farrar started preaching about it, I believed it. But after a while, I started to pull out because I just thought it sounded ridiculous. But what my point is that a lot of times we give people the reason to not believe that what's going to happen in the future, or in the near future at that, is that time will come to a standstill. And what I found out, Susan, is that, and everybody's listening, in my time, you know, with God and midlife crisis or whatever you want to call it, that my duty is to go present the gospel, and my duty is also to warn men, but it's not to worship the information. And that's what I kind of figured out people were doing, is that they were getting information. The Bible says in the last days, knowledge will grow. People will go to and fro.
Yeah, right.
Trying to get knowledge.
Yeah.
And what I was doing on those times, you know, I believe I was born again, but I found myself, and I remember struggling with this, I found myself getting high, I could say excited, which is, you can give me the benefit of the doubt. You can give many people the benefit of the doubt, but we were getting excited, but we weren't going to the Savior. We were mostly going back to the information. And if anybody says, you know, I heard our feelings on Facebook. Of course, it wasn't Facebook way back there, but right now, I'm saying right now. And then we get taken personal, and I'm telling y'all out there, and all of these things need to be managed when you're online, because you missed the point. And I'm saying all of this to start, I'm going to start talking to y'all about what I believe is going to happen. But it's not, the stuff I'm going to say is not because somebody else said it. It's because I've been online for a while. I mean, I've done a lot. I've done a show or two. But starting probably Monday, you guys are going to probably hear a lot from me. But it wasn't – I didn't take a standstill because I fell back. I took a standstill because God was pointing things out to me.
Yeah.
And it's not – I'm not saying I'm a prophet like a TVNer, but he was just pointing things out to me. As far as he took the – meant like 45 years. I'm going on 45 in about 2 weeks. He took that time to say, hey, Phil, this is what I want you to talk about. And basically, he was telling me to preach the gospel and then do Bible prophecy. Because he said, he says, I put that inside of you. You can present the gospel pretty good, but I put this inside of you because I want you to get comfortable talking to people. Because I was never comfortable talking about prophecy as far as, like, you know, I didn't know how to, you know, approach people. Because I mean, my head was going to explode if I read too many things. But here's what I think God was speaking to me about. And I'm going to tell you what my son said in a few minutes. He's 5 years old. Okay, so God was telling me, get ready, you know, start preaching the gospel, get ready to get back on and start preaching the gospel because the time is short. Now, he didn't come down and say, I'm coming in 2016 or 14 or 15 or 17. He just said, get out there and start preaching and do it with fire. And what he was saying to me is, he says, I want you to be hot, not cold, not like lukewarm. I want you to be hot. And he said, I want you to go out. And this is obvious stuff. But people, what they're doing is, people are going out looking for new things. Like, I was on somebody's show just about last month, and I was just telling them, you know, the Bible, what about what we should be doing instead of looking for all these signs, because in Acts 2, the angels asked the disciples, why are you sitting here glazing? Go do something. You know, go do something. And of course, they went to the upper room, and then after they got, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Pentecost came, then they got on fire. But what God was telling me to tell them is, you guys are sitting here talking about Bible prophecy, but there's no gospel. Basically, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
So what they said to me is, you know, I started talking and said, tell me something new. And he, you know, I thought it was kind of rude, but I never got upset. And then I started preaching to him again. I said, you know, tell people about Jesus. And then you talk about Bible prophecy, because I remember another brother was telling me those two guys were not a good fit for each other. The guys, whoever knows what I'm talking about, that's what I'm talking about. It's individuals who get online and people get so excited about, you know, common elden and you know, blood moons and things like that. But
right. And it's a distraction. It can be a distraction.
Yeah. And so if the blood moons, which I was going to talk about, if they are correct, they're not fine for us to go look for more information and get high off of it. And then keep looking for more information. And then share the information, which is cool. I mean, it's good you share somebody said the stock market still which when it collapsed, because that's what I was going to talk about tonight anyway.
Yeah.
But you need to do something with it. You need to make sure you're right with God. And then you need to make sure your family's right, and then we need to go forth and proclaim the gospel. Using these signs, you can use the signs. For instance, I can tell you one right now. Dennis Cuddy is a man. He's been on Alex Jones for a while. He's well known. And this guy is right on point, because God has spoke to me about the same thing. And this is what happens. Really simple. I was on YouTube, and I was watching a video from NBC News, and it was Tom Brokaw. It was one of those guys. I think it was Brian Williams. And he's talking about, do you know by 2017 we will have our first, you know, he's saying that no one will need cash at that time.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, because it fit right in to what Dennis Cuddy was saying when I listened to him on the Radio Liberty, Dr. Sam, and he was saying the same thing. Now, I don't know, but he has inside sources. So 2018 was the time that he was allotting to, as far as he was saying it on the radio program, actually on the way home today, that he was saying that by the globalist plan is for a centralized world financial currency. And I said, okay, that makes sense. So things started adding up around Christmas time, where I just kept watching this stuff and doing, you know, reading stuff. And even on the basic television, God started pointing to me that something's about to happen. July of last year, John Kerry was in Israel, and they were talking about in 9 months. Actually, that happened in August. Sorry, and I mean, he said in 9 months in July, though, he says we are going to have some more meetings, and then in, I think it was September when he said this. He said in 9 months we are going to have a peace agreement set. Now, so in July there was a meeting that they came together, and they decided to meet again in September. And then he said in 9 months we're going to have a peace agreement set in place. Now, from what I've known for the last 14 years since I've been studying Bible prophecy, is Daniel chapter 9 talks about the Antichrist coming to confirm a covenant. Now, I'm not saying this is the time that this is going to happen 100%. This is not a Y2K thing. I'm saying that if he does if they do, if the United States does get them to broker a peace deal, we know that Barack Obama's not the Antichrist. Come on, guys. That in April will be the ninth month from last July. September, sorry. I got my kids upstairs making noise. They're killing me. But anyway, in April, they will sign a peace deal with the United States, the Palestinians, and the Israelis, but there will be things missing off that agreement. I'm not saying it could happen. There's a good chance it's going to happen. Now, I'm the type of person who believes in the false peace. Now, when I was at Job Corps, I used to work at Job Corps, and I remember going to a bookstore right outside of Espicator, Oregon, and it was a book in there. It was called The Feast of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I would never get that book. I would never get that book. I kid you not, I never even purchased it. I wish I would have purchased it earlier. But anyway, just recently, though, I found out about The Feast of the Lord. Now, you guys can go study it if you want. I think it's a good read, especially in Leviticus 25, where it talks about the first four feasts Jesus fulfilled in his first coming. And there's going to be three. There's three more remaining. So the first feast was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruit, and the Feast of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Now, the Antichrist will go into the temple in a certain year and declare himself God. I can guarantee you this. It's going to be a copycat of Christ. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, the Antichrist will also receive a mortal wound and rise again. I know it's counterfeit. And when he rises again, he will declare himself God. And I believe this is going to happen in the springtime, just like Jesus' first coming. So he's going to come, the Antichrist is going to come and say, I am God. See, I died and I'm resurrected, and worship me. Now, with that being said, just before he comes to the scene, I believe it'll be in October when he signs the peace agreement, and I'll tell you why a little bit later. That up 5 months from September. The reason why I say September is because I believe I'm a pre-trib rapture individual. So I believe that 5 months behind September of whatever year he comes for his church will be the 5 months that was grace, that was given to the world for grace. Now, if the United States sells out Israel in April next year and force them to sign a peace agreement, look for the United States to start getting hammered. So look for a financial collapse. Look for a war on our soil. Look for more terrorist attacks. So when we get Israel to sell their soul or split up their land, because God said, you have parted my land, when that happens, the clock starts. So there are blood moons showing, and I'm not trying to be funny, but in Luke 21, it talks about there should be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars on earth, stress the nation. So he's saying that there are going to be signs that will mimic 1949 and 1950, which were signs of Israel, and their government really didn't take office until a year after 1948. These were tetrads showing. There were four signals in the skies. They were eclipses on Jewish feast days in that year. And before that, there was 1967. There were also signs. And we know what happened. The Six-Day War happened at that point. And also in 1492, there were four tetrads up in the sky. And those are, once again, eclipses that happened on Jewish feasts to correlate the same time. So God puts signs in the skies. I think it's on Genesis chapter 1-3. It talks about these signs, these sun, moon, and stars are for seasons to show, you know, the light, of course, and for seasons, of course, but it's also for God's timing. So we don't, like I said before, we don't know, you know, no man knows the day and hour. But we know the season when it's coming. And a lot of people have a sense that we are in the end times. Even people, even the secular people believe that we're headed for a shift in history. If you watch prepper shows, they already got it going. You know, I think some of it was overkill. But
yeah.
I think some of them are smart enough to prepare. The Bible talks about in Proverbs that the wise see trouble and they prepare. Me and my wife are going and probably not bury stuff in the ground and all that other stuff, but we are going to, you know, set ourselves up to have extra food in the house just in case stuff happens. But, yeah, I do believe that we're headed for a world government system, a world financial system, a world economic system, judicial system, you know, educational system. And I think the time is pretty much approaching. I mean, it's
yeah,
crazy.
Well, when the police are pulling you over to see if you're eating in your eating in your car, what?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And I kind of chuckle at the boys that I work with because these kids used to, you know, eat like they fed them like, you want seconds? Okay, for thirds, come for thirds. And, you know, and then all of a sudden I come to work because I work 3 days a week. I come back to work the next, and they're talking about, you know, something Michelle Obama did where, you know, they can't eat as much, and now they're on a diet. So I think that's hilarious because, I mean, I agree with, you know, they were, because I was even saying that myself because I was on a diet. And I was saying to myself in my mind watching these kids eat, I said, you kids are killing yourselves.
Yeah.
But I agree that the first lady can come into somebody's public school, which is actually ran by the state, even if they do get funding from the federal government, I don't think somebody, a federal government, should be able to come and tell them what they should be doing. Even though I agree, it sounds like I'm hypocritical, but it seems like I agree.
Yeah,
with
well,
that.
The thing is, it's kind of an oxymoron, really, because they say, well, we're having this obesity problem because of this and this, but yet they won't ban genetically modified foods. And if you notice, they feed cattle and pigs these GMO corn and the GMO soy, and it makes them fat. So now they're feeding people, oh, well, why do we have an obesity epidemic? Because they're feeding them these GMO foods, and it's making them fat.
Yeah.
So
well,
does Michelle Obama say, well, look, we're going to feed organic, okay? We're only going to feed organic. We're going to have an exercise program. All right, so do it right. Don't be half-baked, like present a half-truth of why there is an obesity problem, which it's obvious there is an obesity problem in this country.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So give us the truth here. The truth, please.
Yeah. Well, I'm still stuck on the aspartame. I can't even get off that from my own.
You better get off aspartame because it's wood alcohol. It's like drinking moonshine.
Well, what I'm saying is I can't understand why the government is letting
produce
it.
And then they're giving it to kids. And it's crazy. It really is crazy. They spend millions of dollars on research. Oh, why are people getting sick? And why is this happening? And we have to find a cure for this disease when most diseases are caused by doctors and they're caused by, you know, improper nutrition. And Well, you don't need a PhD to figure that out. You don't need millions of dollars worth of research to figure that out. So,
It's a whole system. I mean, it's a system.
Yeah, it's a whole system. It's a very medicine is one of the biggest money makers there is. And now with this Obamacare, there's a boom. The insurance companies, wow, you know, they're going to be booming. Selling everybody in this country an insurance policy, it's a windfall, you know, for them. But, you know, you were talking about the music before and the Grammys. And now they, even the Super Bowl, and I didn't realize it because I didn't really watch the whole Bruno Mars performance. But that was occultic also. So they're bringing it in. And even somebody had posted up a video of Pat Robertson saying that he thought that Madonna's performance at the Super Bowl was fantastic.
Well, you know, Pat Roberts is not – I think they need to take – just like I told them, you know, they need to take Billy Graham and sit him down. Well, he needs to probably sit down.
Pat Robertson.
Yeah.
I mean, that was totally demonic. And to say it,
know,
it was
right?
very entertaining. Like, oh, yeah, you're crazy.
There's
something wrong with you.
Yeah, well, Ken Ham just debated.
He made some excellent points.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything scientific to prove. I didn't hear one scientific fact that they had to prove that God is not the creator of the universe. I didn't hear anything. I wanted evidence. Give me some evidence. Okay, if you're going to say we have all this scientific evidence of an old Earth, millions of years old, and I thought Ken Ham. I asked him point blank, well, you can't prove it. How do you prove that the Earth is millions of years old?
I know that Pat Roberts said that Ken Ham needs to stop interpreting the Bible
literally.
Yeah,
that's what he even seemed to endorse the Big Bang theory and also some of evolution. He seemed to endorse both of those things.
I know, man.
It was very, very strange. But it's the whole, they come at you with, we're Christians just like you. And then they get you to believe that they're really Christians. And then they start slowly, chipping away at our foundation. So, we're in dangerous times.
That's the whole thing. I mean, even what I'm baffled about is the Catholic Church, because I mean, maybe I need to sit down and do some more reading, but I've never thought the Catholic Church was, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some Christians in there, but I've never thought that way about the Catholic Church, that they were legit. And I mean, I don't know, because you throw Mary in there and you just mess the whole thing up. I mean, like the Bible says, Mary is blessed, and Mary said herself, I'm blessed of many women, but to say she's part of the way you get to heaven.
She ascended into heaven in a body, they believe, and she had she had an immaculate conception where she was born without sin. Okay, come on now, please.
That's crazy.
Stop.
Yeah. So
stop.
The whole thing, the whole thing is just the whole church story. Like, for instance, they say now, especially some of the people on Facebook, I've heard them for the last, 2-3 years saying things like, the grace of God is, more lenient than we think it is. I think the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, till we sin, that grace may abound. Now, everybody has not everybody, but a lot of people have a vice. But the Bible says, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed."
Yeah.
So God, as far as people say, in the last days, people, the Bible says that people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And I ask the question, so, you know, and I'm trying to be funny when I say that there's power. I mean, really? Because I've been listening to some of the faithful, including some of the people that I know personally. You know, some of the people I've talked to, some people I've snuck on their show and sit there and listen to one individual, I won't mention a name, say stuff like, did you know that, you know, your son is going to be okay, even though he's stuck on crack, he's going to enter heaven because he said the sinner's prayer once, right? And I'm like, are you serious? You know, I said, okay, God, something's got to give here. You know, if the person said the sinner's prayer and they're still stuck on crack, they need to repent.
They need to get saved.
What I'm saying is crazy all over Facebook. That's why God says, see, people be thinking, well, you ain't doing no shows, so you must have been falling or something. No, I ain't doing no shows because, you know, I God has something to show me. You know, and maybe it was hard-headed
for me.
Sure.
I mean, sometimes God does give you some time off just to reevaluate.
Yeah. And evaluating, one of the evaluating is, you know, I'm going to be warning on my show that people need to really be careful when you cast your pearls before swine on Facebook. I'm not saying don't share with Facebook, but no one to get out of an argument or
conversation. Yeah, exactly. I agree with that.
Know when a conversation is going sour.
Get out.
Yeah, that stuff can wear on you and you won't even know it. It's like a frog in the water. You sit in the water and, you know, turn up the dial, and you, by the time you're done, you got your feelings hurt and you're walking away somewhere doing something else. And
that's so true.
Yeah.
I know. It's kind of comical sometimes how
it is.
People get into these arguments. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Now,
you know,
some people say, well, you can, you know, you can learn from somebody else. I would like to eat the meat and spit out the bone if I could. But if I have to stick around and hear just people getting called names and all this stuff, it never happened to me because I never gave it a chance.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't get into that stuff either.
I don't get into it. Yeah, and I told my wife that. I said, well, my wife said, well, I talked to these people, and they just don't seem to get out there, baby. Take your pearls and put them in your
That's it. Just forget about it. It's just not worth it because there's some things that you're never going to agree on, you know, with people. So it's not even worth getting into an argument. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, God, I know they're saved, so eventually God's going to get to them, and, you know, it'll be all right. So, I think it's silly, some of the things that go on, but.
yeah, I'm all right. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, even when you're born again, you're supposed to change. I'm not saying that. You know, some people backslide. Yeah, they do. And but God's married to the backslider. He says he's married to the backslider.
Amen.
And if he says he's married to the backslider, then he's not going to divorce people.
Amen.
So I do believe in the mercy and the grace of God. We all need it.
Yeah, we all need it. Yeah.
But you're supposed to change. You're supposed to be a change in your life. And if your life isn't changed, then something's wrong.
And that's exactly what I'm saying as far as, you know, I mean, I'm not doubting nobody. I'm not here to do that. But at the same time, I'm just like, man, I spent some time on Facebook before, and I'm just like, why does this person still care? Like, matter of fact, in the prophecy zone, there was an individual who would always point out stuff, and I understand what they're saying somewhat. You know, well, we got to, you know, make sure, you know, that everybody's staying on track. And I'm like, as far as the Word of God is concerned, yeah. But as far as your theories and your belief system, your own self, you know, you need to, like, for instance, celebrating Christmas. I mean, to me, I'm like, you know.
Yeah, why even get into an argument about
Yeah. I was like, wow, man. I'm going to buy
okay.
my kids some gifts.
Nobody's going to be eternally damned because they, celebrate Christmas. It's not even worth getting into an argument about.
Yeah,
there's some things that can affect someone's salvation. Okay, yeah. Like, if you're saying that we don't need to be born again, yeah, well, then that's serious. And some things that are going to cost somebody their salvation, yeah, those are things that we should earnestly contend for the faith for.
Yeah.
But then there's certain things, you just have to leave it alone. We're in this whole internet generation now, and we're basically hooked on the internet and what's going on. There's so much information out there. So, we're learning so much. But it's like you said, Phil, that we have to get back to the basics of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really important is to share the salvation message with people, how they can repent of their sins and have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have a beautiful life, have a wonderful life. And we see the sign of the times. We see the wickedness and the evil in the world. And if we didn't know God, what would we do?
Yeah, we probably wouldn't see the wickedness.
No, we wouldn't because you can. Yeah, exactly. And that's a good point because we can see that. Even with people in our own family, they commit adultery, they're living together, they're using drugs, and they don't see any wickedness. And then if you dare say anything, they would just about do anything to get you out of the picture.
Yeah.
So it is a very, very strange time that we're in. And I like what you said about casting your pearls before swine. That's very true. Just don't waste your time on some situations.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah. So I'm going to be having people come on my show. So pretty soon we're going to go back to doing that. But like I said before, it's going to probably be more a lot on YouTube also. We're probably going to be preaching a lot. Because the time is short. And it's time to start reaching people for Christ. I probably will have a book made. I'm probably going to give it away for free for downloads. Just the more people see it's for free, it'll be just Bible prophecy, But the second book will probably be free too. I was thinking about the Lord's been leading me for the last 5 years, so I ain't got nothing to do with no money. But he's been leading me to write a book to point people back to the Bible. And it sounds weird for people to say, why would you write a book for free and point people back to the Bible? Because probably my last word in the book is, what are you waiting for? Go pick up the Bible. Be funny about it. But what I want to talk about is, real quick, is that, it's setting people free from sin. Jesus came down here to separate us, to give us power for just that, for us to walk in purity. And why do people get in bondage? Because we're sinners. And that's what we do. We get in bondage to our sin. That's why Jesus came and provided the way out to die on the cross. Now, people are denying the power that God can give you to separate from sin. Now, Jesus said that we will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, every word, he meant every word. And that you need that word to be set free. You need that word. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the more you hear, the more you have faith that God can separate you from that sin. And I don't think the gospel is not being preached that way. The gospel is being preached that God will supply you with, a paycheck or a job or a house, which those are fine and dandy. And God, I think every American is blessed, but there are some poor Americans also. But the problem with today's gospel is that it lets you sin that grace may abound. In other words, God is saying he will forgive you. And it's true. It's a true statement. God will forgive you for anything. But the thing is, there's a time where you begin to practice holiness rather than. Now, notice I meant, like, if you're Michael Jordan, you're going to hit, he's an 83% free throw scorer. So Shaq, on the other hand, Shaquille O'Neal, is like a 40% free throw shooter. But you don't sit Shaq on the bench because he's not a good free throw shooter. He's big.
Oh, yeah, he's huge.
You want him in your middle, you know, tapping the ball in the rim.
And he's a giant.
Yeah, so he practices basketball even though he's a bad free throw shooter. Now, my point is this. If you're practicing righteousness, you're gonna sin, but your chief aim is to please God. Your chief aim is not to sin and then say, "Oops, I done it again," like Britney Spears. He wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to the Word of God. That's why Jesus said that you must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means a practice of your Word of God. That means you pick it up to obey it. You pick it up to guide your life. You let the Holy Spirit. You let God guide your life through what you read, and that's how He does it. And how do you cast out imaginations and everything that shoots? See, the devil shoots arrows at you.
Yeah.
As long as you're on the devil's channel, as long as you're in the world, as long as you're in the devil's channel, you're going to get the devil's, result.
That's
but
true.
But when you start to get on God's channel and you start blocking that stuff and you start reading the Bible and then you start going to church and you start going to whoever, you know, on the internet, you might listen to Susan's show or my show or somebody else's show, then you will realize what is a bad arrow being shot at you. Because if you're on your way home from somewhere, I'm gonna stop in a minute because it's almost time, but if you're on your way home from somewhere and the devil's whispering in your ear that your wife ain't got the food cooked, or you look who somebody else, something that somebody at work done to you, then you got to know what you should be blocked, what arrow should be being cast down, and what you should accept, which is probably most of none of it. But anyway, God has come to set man free from drugs, alcohol, pornography, anger problems, you know, selfish problems, jealousy, envy. But we must get on the same frequency as God, and we must want to live a life that's completely dedicated to Jesus.
Yes.
So I'm done. So my son just.
Oh, amen. I mean, that was good. That's really true. See, that what you're saying is so true, because we can get in the flesh so easy. It's
yeah.
so easy to get in the flesh,
yeah,
and to get on the wrong channel. But that's
yeah.
it. When you're renewing your mind with the Word of God, and we all need to do it. We all need to ask the Lord to give us that hunger for His Word, because we need that Word every day. We need it keeps our life on course.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's so appropriate for the listeners to hear, because we spend too much time on the internet and on the TV, and we need to spend more time with the Word of God, so that when we're tested and tried, we don't do something stupid.
Yeah.
And get in the flesh and ruin your testimony, and you can even ruin your life. You know, when you think about that man that shot the guy at the movie theater, his life is ruined now, you know, because stupid And he could spend the rest of his life, he's 77 or 75 or whatever, he could spend the rest of his life in jail.
Wow.
Just for a moment of losing his temper,
yeah,
and destroying someone else's life, killing someone needlessly. So,
yeah,
we have to be wise as
Amen.
Serpents and harmless as doves.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Anyway, so then you're going to be starting your program up again. You want to tell the people where to find you?
Well, you can find me on Blog Talk Radio. Look up the Prophecy Zone. Radio news, or just Prophecy Zone Radio, and we're going to start doing YouTube videos pretty soon, so you can probably catch us. I don't want to give out my new website and my new radio program yet, so we'll just stay with the Prophecy Zone. So, yeah, you can just go look up Prophecy Zone on YouTube, and there's other places to find us, too. We're going to be on Spreaker. Also as well.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at that today, too. Yeah, I have to check that out. Spreaker.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, yeah,
it's
I'm going to check.
It's not as fluent. To me, they got better audio quality, but Blog Talk has better. They get it out there. I mean, if you do
yeah, Blog
enough,
Talk is become very popular,
wow.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, you can get thousands of listens off of one show, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing. I've enjoyed my time on Blog Talk Radio, and I think it's a real blessing that we're able to reach out, you know, to have this way to reach out and to touch people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But why don't you have a word of prayer, Phil, before we close tonight for our listeners?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together as we come in unity in Christ. We just pray, Father God, for everyone out there, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us as a country. We pray, Father God, for your word to go forth and triumph through all the wickedness and the evil that is in our society. We pray, Father God, that your seed will not return back void and it will do what it is sent out to do, Father God. And we just pray for the listener that they will be able to come back and enjoy this radio program as well as many other Christian programs that have your word in it, Father God. We just thank you so much, Jesus, and we once again are thankful, not just waiting for Thanksgiving, but we are thankful for countries that such as this. And we just pray that we will continue to have some freedom that we can enjoy in the future. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. All right, Phil, God bless you. Thanks for coming
God bless
on, okay?
You, thank you. Bye-bye.
Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye. Yes, all right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I noticed we had a caller. I'm sorry I didn't take your call. We're just out of time right now. So thanks, everybody, that stopped by in the chat room. And remember that Jesus Christ loves you. He made a way of escape from death. He can give you eternal life. What I mean is, by death, of course, we know we're all going to die, but where will you go when you die? You can either go to heaven or you can go to hell. But Jesus Christ has made a way of escape, and that way of escape is accepting him and his free gift of salvation. Jesus said, ye must be born again once you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And you can have salvation. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You can have salvation today by confessing your sins and asking God to forgive you and asking Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. And he will give you a brand new life, a life worth living, and the gift of eternal life, a home in heaven one day. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven. no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.